Hi there. Welcome to Textures, a podcast about art, design, and entrepreneurship. My name is Valérie Legras. In each episode, I meet with an artist, designer, creator, innovator, individuals who add textures to our world. We discuss how they are able to make it happen. Join me in discovering their world, their work, and how they go about living and leading a life that inspires themselves and others. In this episode, I have the pleasure to host David A.U. Servan-Schreiberg. David is a French artist who has embraced a full-time career as a painter based in London. He is recognized as a rising star in the world of art. Through his work, David addresses the need for better preservation of our planet Earth. He generates emotion through wood, brushes, god leaves, cement, and fire, drawing awareness to the issue of sustainability from the material he uses and the concept behind the pieces. This is one of the last episodes I recorded for season 2. So David and I have had our conversation from the confines of our own home due to COVID-19 quarantine. The resulting crisis in the world invites us to totally revisit the way we live, taking for granted what Mother Nature gives us. We will have a before and an after COVID-19. So what can we do differently, even better after? David's main concern is that we are not looking after our host, the planet, well enough. His artwork is a constant homage to the only things he believes in, our breathtaking planet. I invite you to listen to David's powerful testimony about his work and how, through his art, he invites all of us to refocus on the present moment and what we would want to pass on to the next generation. For all of you that are confined, stay safe. For all our amazing healthcare professionals, thank you and we love you. And now, here is David A.U. Servan-Schreiberg, not just an environmental activist, but an amazing artist with a powerful voice.
Hi, David. Thank you so much for joining me today. So you're in London right now. I'm in New Orleans. And you are confined, like the rest of the world. How is it? How do you feel about that over there?
Well, it's a very peculiar feeling. I'm quite lucky because where I am, I have access to fresh air, which I think is very important in these times. And I know we're not all in this situation. I also can work from home because my studio is in my garage. So my lifestyle is not drastically affected. However, there is this overall feeling of it's very unusual, unique feeling, and I would say a little bit gloomy. You know, we have to wait for it to pass. And again, I'm not to blame on the way I'm leaving it at the moment.
So, what brought you to London, David? Because you're French and you live in London, so what happened?
Well, it's funny because I moved to London in 2012, early 2012. I didn't know London at all, and I didn't have a good image of London at that time. It's just that I moved there because I had a job opportunity. And a few weeks before moving to London, I actually came with my girlfriend at the time for a weekend. This was just before I graduated. And in one weekend, I found a flat, I found a gallery that would exhibit some of my work, and I found a job. And I thought, I had no idea I was going to live in London. It was my first time, actually. And then I thought, okay, well, this has to be the city that is, you know, it's got to be the place to be. So I decided to move there. I studied something that is very different from art. I studied hospitality management.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I did. I spent 4 years in Switzerland, where I did this university, and because my dream was to have a hotel of mine, then I quite quickly realized it was not exactly what I wanted. Anyway, so
your background has nothing to do with art in terms of study. So you are, mm-hmm. I guess, you're living in Paris. Is your family was in art or in?
Not at all.
Well, so you go to Switzerland. Switzerland is the best place to study hospitality management. And then what happened?
So, I mean, I always liked, I always painted. I actually started to discover my artistic side through graffiti. I started graffiti when I was quite young, actually. But I didn't know I was making art. I was just doing graffiti. I was, I was a teenager. I was a rebel. And I was just doing this for the control of adrenaline. Really, that was the whole thing. Because, when you're in front of a wall and you have your graffiti can in your pocket, you haven't done anything yet, but your adrenaline is rushing. And that's, you get completely addicted to this. The topic, but what happened is that my dream was to be, the owner of a hotel. And that's since a very young kid. And so I did everything I could to get into this university and I got accepted. So I spent 4 years there. And then I realized while doing this university, I had internships and things like that. And I realized that my creative side was, growing and growing. And because in a university like this, you don't have any artists, I quickly became the artist of the university. So it's time.
Could you draw? Or could you paint when you was studying there?
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I could, and I was, meaning that I was, still, I was buying canvases that I was doing in my room. I had all this sort of art furniture, things in my room. So very quickly, I had the reputation of the artist in the hospitality industry, and which suited me very well, by the way. I was very happy with that, and I was doing a lot of photography as well. And at the end of that university, I found a job in the hotel called the Bulgari Hotel in London. It was a hotel that was being built, so I had to be part of the creation of the entire team and so on. And then after a couple of years, I started to sell my work while being at this hotel. I was doing some little shows here and there. So I decided to give it a try and to leave the hospitality industry and to, become a full-time artist. At that time, I went to see the owner of the hotel. I told him, look, this is what I'm going to do. And he said, all right, man, well, good luck. I'll see you in 6 months. And he was right. So 6 months later, I came back to him. And because during 6 months, I made absolutely no sales and I ran out of money. So I had to find another job. So these 6 months I took to become a full-time artist were very interesting, but not very lucrative. So I came to see him, and his office was right next to Sotheby's in London. So after my interview with him, or my coffee with him, he was actually telling me that he was opening a hotel in a Bulgari hotel in Paris, and this would take a little more years. In fact, it's still not open. So I went to have a look at the exhibition of the current exhibition at Sotheby's, and behind the desk of Sotheby's is a lady that I used to work with in the previous hotel, and she, it was very random, and she welcomes me and asks me what I'm doing, and I tell her that I'm a struggling artist, and she's telling me, well, she told me that if I wanted, I could come and work with her. I would be paid by the hour, and I could help her to sell catalogs, and I could help in the cloakroom, and really start at the bottom of the ladder. And it was suiting me very well because, you know, it was a 0-hour contract and it was in the art world. So I was, you know,
No matter what, you were surrounded by art.
Exactly. And also people of the art world, which is something I didn't know of. You know, I didn't know anybody from the art world really when I was in hospitality. So very interesting move. And then after 3 months, they offered me a permanent position. And I was doing evaluation of, there was something called
appraisal. Kind of appraisal? You appraise the art?
Appraisal, yeah, appraisal. So in the UK, we call it the valuation, there's a valuation department and it's appraisal, yeah.
Okay.
So people come to you with artworks and they might think that they got something amazing from a car boot sale or, you know, somebody in their family passed away or they have debt and they have to sell things. Anyway, all sorts of reasons they come to you with an artwork and you got to make some research about what they have and see, you know, roughly how much it's worth. Then you speak to a specialist and then you either take it, consign it, or you send them.
But it's a great way to learn about art because you have...
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it was exactly like doing, you know, an art history class, but being paid for it.
That
was great. I've learned so much. And it was also an eye opener, as in it really refined my eye, I think, because I had to see fantastic artworks on the walls, but also all type of artworks in between my hands, because, you know, people would bring you posters thinking that they're real artworks or all sorts of things. This is how I got into Sotheby's. Then I moved from that department. I moved to the marketing department. There's a department called Preferred, which is basically the loyalty program of Sotheby's. And I stayed there for a couple of years, and then things were going really well on my artistic career. And so I decided it was time to fully live as an artist. But it took a few years.
And so at that time you were showing your art in galleries, correct?
That's right.
Yes. Let's talk about your art because we're having a conversation, but maybe we have to explain what your art is about.
Yes.
And what's the message behind your art. Of course, we can describe it, but we're going to invite our listener to go on your website and to go on your Instagram to learn more about it. But the fact that today our health is kind of under attack, I would say, I think it's really resonant with the message you are trying to share with your art and the way your art evolved, becoming a real activist. And that's what I want you to talk about. You know, what's behind just being an artist in your, you know, today?
You know, it's funny because you just said something about our earth being under attack. And I think that very, very frequently when we speak about our planet or our earth or Mother Nature, we could replace that word with human, with just the word humans. Because when we say, you know, don't do this, it's bad for the planet, don't throw away a plastic bag in the water or in the sea or in the ocean because it's bad for the planet, it's not really bad for the planet. It's really bad for the humankind and all living beings on our planet. But I think it's as humans, we think a lot of ourselves and probably too little of our planet. And therefore, we think that our planet is going to suffer from climate change. We think our planet is going to suffer from pollution. But the truth is that the people living on the planet are going to suffer from that. Our planet is much stronger than us, obviously. Our planet gave life to us. And this is what I'm trying to convey in the message I'm conveying in my work. Our planet is giving life to whatever surrounds us. And therefore it's almost, you know, we I have almost a religious affection for our planet because this is what gave life to me. And that I know for a fact. I don't know if God exists. I know that I'm alive and I know that I am in, you know, on Earth. And so this is how I decided to paint my first planet when I started to realize that. And so I just wanted to be very grateful for this.
Yeah. So one part of your art about speaking about being thankful, you know, for the planet we, how we can cherish the planet we have, and also being thankful. So one series is extremely bright and it's, how can I say, it's very emotional when you look at it because it's just like pure. It's very pure. Mm. And then you have another series. Mm-hmm. Where all of a sudden you just kind of destroy something that has been beautifully created. So yeah. I just want to hear a little bit more about that.
Right. So the way I picture the planets that I'm the planet on my work is usually through the medium of gold leaf. I use gold as a symbol of, you know, something precious, a bit like you would find icons in the Orthodox religion made out of gold leaf. So I inspired myself from that. Now, I divided the planet series into sub-series, as you said, to tackle different subjects and topic. The bright works that you were talking about, you know, the very peaceful ones, these are called blazars. So the idea through this sub-series is to, for your eye to focus purely on the planet. So the background will be usually a plain background of one color, and it's really made to, for you to focus on the beauty of the planet. Now I have some other sub-series. One is called Haoni. And it's about the climate change, and that the idea behind that was to burn a completed work. So the Blazar series is very pure, and one day I just decided to burn it completely.
How did it happen? How did it come to your brain? You know, what was the process for you all of a sudden to decide to burn it and destroy it?
Well, I paint on wood. So if it would have been on canvas, burning it would have just completely destroyed. I paint on wood, and I started to make some little experiments with fire, and the result of, you know, carbon monoxide on wood, and I just had this this idea of communicating about the deforestation, and I thought, well, perhaps the best way of doing this is by burning wood. And so, because I wanted to reproduce the process of deforestation on a work, so I started to burn a completed work, and it was nice, but obviously very flaky, because, you know, you would have some parts falling off. And so I had to put a layer of resin on top of it to make it
hold off,
and which I did, and then I wasn't completely satisfied with that result, so I started to reburn the whole work, and that would bring some very strong and dark little details, and I had to re-resin this in order for it to not flake. Mm-hmm. But it ended up by being, very, very strong works. Probably some of my favorites are from that sub-series. Perhaps not the most decorative ones. I would say, you know, they're sometimes a bit dark. But for me, the message is extremely touching. Gets me sometimes emotional and very important to me. So I particularly enjoy that series.
Your art is your voice, so what comes out of your voice doesn't have to be the flattering decorative, you know, piece of art that everyone's going to have on his wall. I mean, if you have to that's what makes your art very strong and special. It has this very, very strong message behind it. It's very powerful.
So there's another series that I'm working on called Microcosm. That series is also based on woods, and I also use fire for it, but the message is a little bit different. In here, I picture what's directly beneath our feet. So it's a land that is very much affected by the human touch. And by burning, you know, I burn wood and in such a way that it gives a crackle. So it pictures a very affected dry land where life is no longer possible, essentially, because of our activity. It's not a very positive message, but I'm trying to show here what could happen. And underneath this crackled earth, I put a layer, another layer of wood, on which I put some gold leaf. Now, what I'm trying to say here is that we are very much responsible for the damage we create to our planet. But the layer of gold underneath represents the life that our planet generates, whether humans are here or not. I mean, you know, there's been some dinosaurs before us here. They're simply no longer. It could very well happen to us too. Yet planet Earth will still continue to bring life. So through Microcosm, I'm trying to picture that. The gold represents the life and the hope, and the layer on top represents the catastrophe, a catastrophic.
Yeah, but I think which is beautiful is you have always a positive side on, you know, even though it's an alarmist statement, it's still, there is always this underlining the positive side of it. Yeah. That's the strength of this earth.
Well, I mean, the truth is, you know, you and I here are still very much alive and not completely threatened as we speak by climate catastrophe, yet we see the changes of, you know, we see changes going very quickly every year, and we are currently confined in our home because of a, you know, virus, which is probably very different from climate change, but the point is we are in a very fragile, I would say.
Yeah, it shows our vulnerability.
Exactly. We are very vulnerable. And therefore, you know, even with a couple of degrees, when we talk about climate change, we're, you know, some scientists are predicting an increase of only a couple of degrees in 50 years, in 50 years time, which could be, you know, we could think it's not much, but we as human being might not survive, which sometimes make me feel like we're just microbes on a human, you know, when we have the bad or toxic microbes inside us, when we have a bit of fever, we just increase our temperature and the
microbes, you just reject. Yeah, that's the way to just get rid of it.
Exactly. And it looks like this is what's happening with
her,
with Earth and us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
we're starting to become a little bit of a burden and a little bit too annoying for our planet, and then the result is a couple of degrees more and it will wipe us out.
So, fever.
Yeah, it's a fever.
It's a fever. So do you think you have, so your message became very clear to you, the message you want to communicate through your art became clear to you as an artist at an early stage, or this is something that your dedication to bring awareness to people came at an early stage in your art? Or is that something that is more recent?
You know, it came to me, I'm naturally very anxious, especially about death. I have difficulties coping with the idea of death, with the idea of infinite nothing, you know? That's pretty much what it is, if you don't believe in God. And I was not raised in a religious way. And I think I needed to believe in something. I had faith, but I didn't know where to put this faith. So I had to believe in something that was not a lie or not a book or something that I could truly believe in. And one day I was gardening And it sounds very stupid, but I was gardening and I have this olive tree in a pot outside my house. And there was a lot of weed that grew around this olive tree. And I thought to myself, how come there's so much weed? It's in a pot. I never planted these. And suddenly you've got life. And this was very much of a aha moment, because I thought, well, if you just have earth and sun and water, you get life.
Yeah.
And it was at that moment I realized that, you know, there you go. I've got an answer of where do we come from? It's earth. And therefore I decided to talk about it in my art. And obviously when you speak about your relationship with earth, you can't avoid talking about all the negative aspects that we bring to it.
Yeah. So basically, your art is what it is today. What do you see with all this climate change and all this, you know, the way everything changed so dramatically, so fast right now? How do you see your painting 20 years from now? What would you love to, what type of planet would you love to paint? And how do you see your art in 20 years? I mean, I think it's a little hard to imagine, but in your dream.
It's hard to imagine, but I think the I don't know if there will still be planets per se. I think there might be, you know, it might be a different style. What's sure is that I will continue to paint no matter what, and I will still continue to talk about these subjects that are so dear to me, because this is to me, as an artist, I think it's important to witness your own time. And this is, as we speak, a huge concern that concerns all of us. How it will look like, I'm not sure. It might be with complete different mediums. It could be with lights. It could be sculptures. I'm not sure. I think some, you know, when you start, when I started news, you know, Microcosm, for example, I didn't know it was gonna come. One day I made, you know, some new experiment, and I just had a wave of inspiration, and suddenly it just started. It was created like this. I think it's going to be very hard to predict.
Yeah, hopefully the change that, you know, we will change the way we live, and hopefully, you know, planet Earth will be a little less damaged by us, and then your painting will be, you know,
more positive. Yeah,
they're not negative, don't make me wrong, but it's just like, you know, it would be interesting to see how it evolves. And I think and I think you as an artist, you know, have using this your art to become an advocate for something you strongly believe in. It reminds me of, you know, like Picasso with Guernica, and say, we are anti-war here. I mean, just like you artists have, I mean, a great audience and a great voice, even though there is no world. And it's pretty amazing. And I want to talk about that, because art today is mostly seen in galleries or into collector's, you know, house. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, art is extremely intimidating, because, you know, they don't really understand, or everyone thinks it's too expensive, or is that what people are going to think of this art if I, you know, people think art about only being decorative. So there is a lot of different way to be intimidated by art. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that pushing the door of the art gallery is not always the easiest. Because you feel like you don't belong, and you wonder if it's the right place to go, and you wonder if the question you're going to ask are going to be relevant, and you feel very insecure. However, you join a young company, which is MTA, Marine Tanguy Art Agency, and I believe it changed a lot of things for you. So if you can describe, you know, experience.
Yes, of course. So MTA agency is a talent agency for artists.
So it stands for Marine Tanguy.
Marine Tanguy, MT Art, actually, a Marine Tanguy art agency. So Marine Tanguy is she's an agent and she runs this company. She represents about 20 artists. Most of us are either painter or sculptures. You also have a lot of performers and people working on videos and so on. And she is fantastic. She brings a new model to the art world. She doesn't have a gallery. She, however, brings a lot of opportunities to her artists through, making collaborations with brand, working on public art, or making direct sales with some of her collectors. She brings, every day I received 2, if not 3 emails of somebody in Marine's team or Marine directly bringing me new opportunities to do.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I like the sentence is invest in artists, not in art.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting phrase, and I believe very true. You can't judge an artist by one artwork. You have to see the entire oeuvre, as we would say in French. I don't know, the entire work of an artist to understand what he does. That's why, to come back on what you said regarding the galleries, sometimes it can feel intimidating. And one of the reasons why is that you might not know why an artist had done such work, and part of the beauty of art is actually trying to dig the information of why an artist does that, especially with contemporary art that can be very abstract. I found myself loving some artists after knowing why they would do such an artwork. And before knowing why they did it, I would be thinking,
you could appreciate it, but not at the same level. Yeah.
The same level. So I think to appreciate art, knowledge is very important. It's also, it also feels great to love an artist and knowing why, and knowing the message behind and so on. And I think that's what Marine does incredibly well. She communicates on her artists and their messages in a very beautiful and smart manner. She uses social medias like no one else. She has a very strong understanding of how it works and how to communicate on it. And actually that's how I started to work with her. Before working with her, I worked with some galleries that were great at selling my art, but not great at talking about it. And therefore, I contacted Marine, telling her, this is an issue I'm facing, and I'd love to find the right person to speak about the message, because as an artist, that's what really truly matters to me. And she was very happy to come into the studio to see my work, and we started to work together since 4 years now.
Yeah, and she was a young entrepreneur at that time, so you also had to, you had to mutually trust each other to embark in this new venture.
Yeah, it's funny because we're almost the same age, and she had a baby, I had a baby a week apart, and we're climbing this. We're facing this, I would say, path together, where we're working at the same pace, I would say. Yeah.
And so our model is very, very different. And I just want to explain a little bit, and I hope I'm not I hope my explanation will be right. So you just interrupt me if it's not right. So basically she's mentioned that she used to work at an art gallery in the US, in Los Angeles, and then she realized that there were no really agency that were representing artists. But in another hand, you had different agency represented, like sports people or actors or model. And then that these people were not only doing the work as a model or an artist or sportive, but they were also using their who they were for representing different brand. And it was also a good way for them to, I don't know exactly, I just, I don't know if it's the my message is clear here, but you as an artist, what she brings you is not only collectors or people who understand your work, but she's also bring you different brands who are going to relate to the message you want to, you express in your art, and then you're going to work with this brand and collaborate on different projects. So if you can talk about the different collaboration you've done lately, and I'm especially thinking about the House of Champagne, the Maison Renoir, because since I was born and raised in Champagne, I always love to connect with my fellow Champenois people. So, but you know, the collaboration with a brand is something that is new and very interesting that Marine Tanguy brought to this world.
Absolutely. So regarding the partnership I did with Ruina, it was very interesting because I believe they are positioning themselves as the champagne of art. You know, they sponsorize most of the big art fair in the world, and what they have is a program and a team that works with one artist per year. And so last year it was a guy called Vic Muniz. This year is an artist called David Frigley. And what they do with these artists, they usually are very, you know, well represented and very important artists. So what they do with these artists is that because they sponsorize all these fairs around the world, they usually have a beautiful booth, whether it's at Art Basel, Art Frieze, or
Miami,
name it Miami, Basel, well, you know, name it, they're going to be normally sponsorizing it anyway. So they take this artist and put his artwork all over their booth, and they do a great launch every year, and so that's how they position themselves as the champagne of art, essentially. But recently they decided to care more about our environment, and they thought, how are we going to communicate this through art? And that's how they
found you,
found me. And well, it was a perfect match because I'm not their major artist, because you know, that's for usually elderly artists with a much bigger career than mine at the moment. But I'm have the chance to be also represented in their booth around with these amazing artists around the world. And so we worked on a few works. So I had to do 50 little boxes for them, and that would encourage people to consider recycling corks, because cork is a material that is
sustainable, we will think.
Well, it's sustainable, but you can recycle it, and that we don't really know it, because the average person consumption of cork is usually not that high. However, when you are Ruina, you do consume a lot of cork, and so we decided to work around that, and to through an artwork. You would have to put the
collect the
cork through the artwork, and that artwork is inspired by the series Microcosm, with the the burnt and the cracks, and the other works we did were inspired by the Planet series, and this is to influence people to recycle glass, and the idea is that you get into a box. Huge box, and you face a planet in front of you, completely golden. And actually, through the planet, you will put your bottle, your arm through the planet, and drop it into a box that collects all the glass, essentially. So that was the fun. a fun collaboration.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was an amazing brand to work with. Great, great people, great team, fantastic vision, and very appreciative of art, which is on top, you know, quite nice.
Yeah, but so but you had also different partnership, and I do believe with other brands like also jewelry. And,
yeah, Pomellato. Pomellato is this Italian brand, part of the Kering group, and they approached me. That was 2016, I believe. They approached me because they liked the Planet series, and one of their ring is called Sabia, and Sabia is inspired by Planets, the Sabia collection and the Planets. So they decided to put a Planet work in every of their shop worldwide, which was a huge thing to me, especially at the time. It was the very beginning of the Planet series, and I had a very small studio at the time, so I remember the storage was a huge issue, because I had to make so many identical artwork, because they wanted the same color. It's not identical, but the same. It was same plain same background.
Series, like very, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was fun, but stressful.
I really like that. You know, your art is definitely going. This is outside of galleries, outside of collectors' house, and it's a great way to put your voice out there. So David, well, thank you so much. You know, I really appreciate you taking the time today, and I really hope that we're going to get out of this crisis, international crisis, a good way. I hope we're going to have take things into another consideration now, maybe live differently. Hopefully that will happen.
Yes, there's definitely going to be, I think, some different ways of doing things after the confinement. I think it's a overall quite of a very negative thing, but out of this chaos will probably rise a few good things.
Yeah. And I cannot wait how it's going to impact your art, because it mm-hmm. has to. I'm sure we're going to have a different planets coming out of your. Yeah.
I'm already working on some new things. I'll send you photos when it's ready.
All right. Okay, anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Renee. Thank you.
Thank you to David for taking the time to discuss his mission with me today. I hope you have enjoyed listening to our conversation. I truly appreciate the powerful voice behind David's art. If you would like to learn more about David Savantschberg, visit his website at davidaiu.com. That is davidaiu.com. You can also follow along on Instagram at davidaiu. On this episode, we spoke about David's agency, founded by Marine Tanguy. You can find more information on Instagram at mtartagency or online at mtart.agency and discover other amazing artists like David. This podcast is an ongoing creative conversation for anyone who looks around and sees the added values in their world and wants to know more about who is doing it. Be sure to share texture with your friends and community. Find your preferred listening platform at valerielegras.com/podcast or listen to us on Spotify. Be sure to follow so that you don't miss new episodes. Thank you for listening, and à bientôt.